place at one time. And I'm going to deviate a little from the topic a little bit, but I think it's going to still to exactly to the Gemara. Siyata Dishmaya, an old Rebbe of mine from Chutz Laaretz, happened to be in Eretz Yisrael this week. I met with him this afternoon. I was talking to him, and I had an idea, so I ran it by him. So I think it's apropos to talk about Churban and Shavuos HaChabah of Tisha B'Av. 24 hours away, less than that, of the Aschola of Avelus. So, but yet we have to do the Gemara Chelik, but the point the Gemara we're up to segues directly into the concept of Avelus and what Hashem did on Tisha B'Av. It's tremendous Ashkacha. The Gemara we're up to is two lines, the second wide line, actually the first wide line, very wide line, the last word on the line, and Daf Tzadik Aleph from his days. Ula, the last word on the line, Ula, Rami Ksiv. He had a problem with two people. Ula, the first very, very wide line, okay? Rami Ksiv, Bila Hamoris Lo Netzach Umocha Hashem Dima Me'alko Ponim. This is only part of the Pasuk. It's a Pasuk that's recited at the closing of a eulogy of most people at a Levaya after they give a Hespid. So this is the Pasuk that most people quote as their closing remarks. That Ubila Hamoris Lo Netzach, Hashem should swallow up death Lo Netzach forever. Umoch Hashem dima mi'al kaponim, and Hashem will wipe away tears mi'al kaponim. This is a reference to that there will be no death. At the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, when Hashem brings everybody back to life, so at that point, Bila Amovas Lanetzach, there will be a Kiyam Lanetzach forever. The problem was that Ula found another pasuk that seemingly contradicted this pasuk, because Uksiv Kianar Ben Meir Shona Yamus Loye Misham Oid Oil Yom. So we see from there that there is a concept of a Nar, someone who reaches 100 years old and then dies. This also is referring to the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. So we had a dilemma. From one pasuk, it looks like there isn't going to be any more death, and from another pasuk, it was clearly stated that comes 100 years old approximately, then the people are going to die. And he wanted to understand, how do these two psukim jive? So he answered, the Gemara answers, Lakasha, it's a tremendous yesod. Kan be Yisrael, kan be Evdei Kechavim. One pasuk is talking about Yisrael, that's the pasuk of Bila Hamavis Lanetzach. Yisraelim Yidin, when they come back alive at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, they will have a kiyum, a chai for kiyum. They will live forever. Whereas goyim, if they kachavim, those that are still around at the time when Tchiyas HaMesim takes place, they will live out their years to 100 years or thereabouts, and then they will pass away. Now this is a very interesting Gemara, because most people will tell you, and it's brought down in Chazal, that the Goyim don't have Tchiyas HaMesim. So who's talking about Goyim over here? And that's what the Gemara asks, right on the spot. What are they doing there? The Goyim are not the ones that are going to be having Tchiyas HaMesim. And now, to answer up our contradiction, we're making ourselves a bigger problem. Because we're saying that one of the psukim is telling me that the Yidden, they're going to be the ones that live forever. The pasuk that said that they're going to only live till 100, that's talking about the Goyim. How's the Chayach? So the Gemara answers, Hanach t'ksiv behu, v'amdu zorim v'ro t'enachem, strangers will stand up and they'll be the shepherds of our tzoyin, v'nei necho achrichem v'chormechem, they'll take care of our vineyards and they'll take care of our produce. In other words, they will serve us. Says the Gemara that the Pasuk is referring to the Goyim that Hashem keeps around to take care and tend to the needs of Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting, just as a side point, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a way of evening out the score. For like Kimi Avakish is a nirduf. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it. So something that one of my rabbis was omit on, I saw him today, he said an interesting thing. If you travel around, you don't see it here in Eretz Yisrael, but the labor, a lot of the labor that's taking place in the, let's just, the New York area that I know, is done with Polish workers. And they're the ones that are cleaning the houses, and they're doing all the construction. And he once it over from one of the big gedolim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already paying them back for what they did in the time of the Holocaust by destroying Klal Yisrael and destroying the houses, but now they're the ones that are slaving away, keeping them clean and fixing them and building them. And again, Mishpatecha Tayim Rabu, like we said last week, we don't really know the ways of Hashem. We just see a bunch of events happening, and sometimes we try to connect the dots. But just because they connect doesn't mean we did it right. And even when we do connect them right, we don't always know what it symbolizes and what it means. So you gotta, a certain amount, take it with a grain of salt. But we do understand with Emunos that nothing happens by mistake, and there's no coincidence, and Hashem is setting it up to work a certain way. So exactly which Goy is Zeicha to come back and serve which Jew and what they get to do and everything, I don't know that it's possible to know. But says the Gemara, clearly that the Pasuk is reflecting that there is Goyim, there are Goyim, there is a situation, a concept that the Israelim, the Yidden, their needs, their the work in their fields, everything they need should be taken care of for them. Why these Goyim, these strangers, for whatever reason it is that they personally were Zeicha, and those are the ones that after they reach 100 years old that are gonna pass away. But Ubila HaMavis LoNetzach, the death that we experience, that people see today constantly, is something that won't exist at the time of Tchiyas HaMesh. Oh, so that the Gemara doesn't discuss. And that's a very interesting point, whether it is that the Goyim come back to life or just the ones that happen to be alive at the time. And we're going to leave it at the, we'll deal with the latter just to be safe and say that assume that there will be those that are alive at the time, and those are the ones that will be around till 100 years old. The question will be is what's going to be with after that. And then we'll have to say at some point there's a concept of like regular birth happening from their families, so to speak, without the concept of Tchiyas HaMesih. Although, I will tell you that wasn't researched thoroughly, and it's possible you'll be able to find that there are going to be Mepharshim that will say no, that it's Kedai for the Yidden to have that Goyim come back if their purpose is to serve Yidden. And I heard such a pshat as well. That there is such a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates that there should be always those people to take care of the needs of the Yidden, and whatever it takes, that's what Hashem does. Because for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring someone back to life, or for Hashem to bring someone into life, is basically told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same deal. And Memela, the Yisoid HaDavar, is that it's for the purpose of Yisrael. So we live in Golos now, so we can't just go over to a guy and just order him around and tell him what to do for us. It probably won't work. But Lamaisa, during the time of Tchiyas HaMesih, at that point, we won't even have to order them around. Their whole purpose here in existence will be to serve and take care of the needs of Klal Yisrael. Now, on this Gemara, I believe that to help us understand a little bit what's going to be taking place tomorrow night and the day after with Tisha B'Av coming, to understand what Hashem did and why Hashem did it and what lesson was HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to teach us from this Gemara directly. We had in the last Gemara also something very unique that we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he did Tchias HaMesim, he brought them back to life with their mum, with whatever blemish they had, and then he healed them. Like we saw last week, the purpose was that they were going to be Rishoim, wicked people that are going to say, yeah, Hashem just had someone new born. He didn't bring someone back to life that was dead. So by bringing back the person in the same situation that he was when he died, these Rishoim would see that, hey, I recognize that guy. I remember him. He was missing one leg. Now not only did he come back alive, but he has two legs. It will shut up the taina of the Rishoim, that they won't have any excuse or any Pesach to say, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing Tchias HaMesim. Now, we discussed what was the purpose of that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a matzav on a much higher madrega of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We could have just ignored what the Rishoim wanted to say. Who cares what they think? But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way, so to speak, even though it was no big deal, but he, in the Tchias HaMesim, he created intrinsically in how they became back alive that it should be better for Klal Yisrael. That the Rishoim can't have tainas against them, they won't be able to ridicule them. And Lamaisa, we pointed out last week, the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it. But at the end of the day, Kol Madama Rachmol L'Tavav. That's our Kabbalah that we know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's really good for us. And accordingly, he dishes out whatever is needed for us to gain. So along those lines, I believe that it could be this Gemara will fit in with the same mahalas. And that is like this. There's a capital. Tell him it's the Mizmor Asher Alekim Bo Goyim Benachol Asecha. At the time when the Goyim came in, destroyed our Beis Hamikdash, so it was a Mizmor created for us. And we know that we're lacking in really understanding the Avoda of Tisha B'Av. We have a hard time tuning in to understand what is it that we once had and what is different now that we don't have it anymore. So superficially we can answer the question. We had a Beis HaMikdash. People were irregular to the Beis HaMikdash. We broke a bunch by the Beis HaMikdash. It was the place where Klal Yisrael came together, and now we don't have that anymore. So in a very superficial way we're tuned into that. Yet, when you read the kinnis, one kina after the next, and we spend the day and we read Echa, and we think about it, and we look into it, and we try to understand, we realize that we're not even scraping the surface. We're not even scraping the surface. The Maisa, the concept of Mizmor La'asaf is very strange. The Mefarshim is, it should have been a kina. Mizmor means a certain praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what are we saying a mizmor when we're trying to discuss the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? It would seem more apropos to use the lashon of a kina or echa when we're discussing that topic. And the Tisha Pikus in the Sefer brings down a marshal of a melech, and he has a child that is straying from the way that the melech wants him to be. And he basically destroys the house and everything he built up for this particular child, totally demolishes it. And Lamaisa, Melech is very down about it. The people around are down about it. You don't find that they're going to get up and give a praise. Oh, the king saw his child going away from the way he wanted him, so he destroyed everything he built for him. That's a geweldige thing. You don't find such a thing. So Rav Shimon ben Pinchas wants to understand, why is it that it's not strange when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash that there we did create a mizmar la'osef elikim bo goyim nachal sechen tilla. And he answers that the reason why is because by the king, that's not where he's going to necessarily stop. The king is going to also make sure that the son pays a very dear price. He doesn't just take out his wrath on Eitzim V'Avonim, on the buildings. He makes sure that he imprisons him, he takes away his great whatever powers he has. He directly does something to the person himself, to the child himself. Where the Kodesh Baruch Hu, through his Gevaldike Chesed to Am Yisrael, realized that, you know something, I'm so upset, so to speak, at the way Klal Yisrael is acting, that let me take out my wrath on Eitzim Avonim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and through that, it will take away my anger, and now I won't take it out on Klal Yisrael themselves. They will continue to be able to exist, albeit in Golos without a Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless, they will continue to exist. Because of that Gevaldige Chesed that Hashem did for us by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it sounds strange. You're calling it a Chesed? How could you call it a Chesed? What kind of Chesed is it? He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The answer is because he took it out on the Beis HaMikdash and we, Klal Yisrael, were able to continue to exist and thrive. And Be'ez Hashem one day be zeichet to the Bayis Shlishi b'meir v'meir. That's all through the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, David HaMelech said, Mizmar, Lazavi gave praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that because of his great love for Klal Yisrael, he would not bring himself to destroy Klal Yisrael, quicker destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, to understand this a little bit, he brings down a marshal. And it's an amazing marshal. It was once an artist. He went up on the top of a mountain. Over here in Eretz Yisrael, you have tremendous things. Today I had to actually travel to a moshav, someplace past Neve Yaakov. And I was a little bit like uneasy heading in that direction. It was like uncharted territory for me. And just wherever you go, whether you make a right or a left, the view is so amazing. It's hard to keep your eye on the road. So it's just I can't even tell you how many times I just caught myself not even looking where I was going, because I was so overwhelmed by the view, the mountains, the bush, the trees, the way the view, how you see how the place of Borough is just amazing. I guess, you know, going down the street in Borough Park, you don't get to see that graffiti and a few beat up buildings, but it's amazing to see, and it's something. It's really inspiring. And he brings out a marshal of someone that goes up on the top of one of these mountains where the view is just, you can't put words. It's just amazing. But he's a professional artist, and he sets up a whole one of these shops, one of these, I forgot what it's called, where they do their easel, right, where he's going to do his work. He's going to paint a picture of the scenery. He's going to get the cloud exactly where the cloud is, the shrub exactly where it is, the little ditch carved out in the mountain. Everything, he's going to have it, and he's going to make himself a beautiful picture. And he starts making his picture, and he's a professional. And after many, many days of working on this project, he finally finishes, and it's an amazing thing. But standing there is a piece of work. Tremendous piece of work. And he quickly calls a friend of his over to come check out his work. And the guy comes up on the top of this high mountain. And he takes a look at it. And he's overwhelmed. It's so good that it's hard to differentiate between the painting and the real thing, which is right next to it. Because it's an identical match. He's looking at it, and it's identical. Exactly where this tree is exactly where this tree is. It's just amazing. And it's so amazing that he starts doubting himself. Is one of them real? Is one of them fake? Like, maybe it's too good to be fake. So he's trying to look at it, but he can't get a good view. He's 5 feet away from where he's looking, but from where he's looking, it looks like the real thing. He wants to try to differentiate the difference. It's like when you walk down the street and you want to try to see the area of the line, and you're trying to see something on a backdrop so you'll see the line, because otherwise you're looking, you don't see it. So you need something behind it in order to see the wire going across. So this guy is standing trying to see the painting. So he takes a few steps back and he looks at it again from all different angles. It really is a perfect duplicate. And so he takes another step back. At this point, the painter, who's standing by his painting, realizes that if this guy takes one more step backwards, he's going down. He's at the top of the hill. So he yells to him, "Sir, stop, where are you going? There's a drop after that, a couple hundred feet." But the guy is so absorbed and engrossed in what he's doing, he doesn't hear him. And he starts taking another half a step back. Now he's already 20 feet away from him, and the painter is panicking because he realizes that this guy's about to kill himself without even knowing. So he has no other choice. He dives towards his easel. He smashes up his painting, rips it to shreds in 2 seconds flat. And the guy is about to take that last step back to take a good look, and he sees what the guy did. And he steps forward and he starts yelling, "Are you a moron? I spent a week working on this project. What would you do to it?" So then he got his attention. He says, "He wants you to take one step forward and look behind you." And the guy takes a look and he realizes that his heels are already off the edge. Says of Shimshon Pinkus, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Trying to get our attention to work on Sinas Chino, on Shulei Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila, on all the different things that Chazal say caused that we needed to have the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. But we weren't getting it. We were so busy being busy, involved in thinking how it's not me, it must be the other guy who's doing it wrong, that we didn't realize that we were about to step off the cliff to a point of no return. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly went and smashed the Beis HaMikdash to get our attention. Says it should be a Mizmar La'asaf. Such a great chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just as easily let us take that last step and fall down. That would have been the end. But his love for Klal Yisrael is so great. It's so immense. Better Klal Yisrael without the Beis HaMikdash, then what do I need a Beis HaMikdash for if I don't have Klal Yisrael?
Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself destroy? Why did he allow another nation to destroy?
That's one of the most frequently asked questions, I think, I taught to measure. Rav Avigdor Miller, many times would comment on these kinds of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things that they should look like teva. Beged Hester Ponim, on purpose, because Lamaisa, the Hashem lets the world run in what seemingly looks like nature. Nature really is no such thing. The word nature is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as nature. The fact that there's nature is a nest from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really a miracle. But Hashem conceals his Maisim so it should look like nature, so that people have a chance to be Bochar to Bachayim or not. To choose that this is Yad Hashem, what's not Yad Hashem. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we will get our schar by choosing the right thing after 120, when we get the chart is added up. If everything was so simple, if everybody saw Yad Hashem, so there would be no kunz. Who wouldn't do everything perfect? Everybody would do things perfect. So Bela, that's in a nutshell, the answer to your question, that everything in general happens in that mahalach. Now, once you ask the question, I'll just take a minute or two to start talking about something I just thought of, you know, that
Rav Avigdor used to always say is that the purpose for massive nisim that are just way off the charts, where you open your eyes wide and your jaw drops and you're wow, is not that we should be amazed at the massiveness, that's also true, but that we should wake up and realize that the fact that the small things happen are no less than this. And we have to use these opportunities of when things come up, things happen, and that we hear stories of things that happen that are tremendous nisim, we should yet be impressed with the ness and get closer to Hashem, but use it as a springboard to recalibrate ourselves in our daily lives in appreciating what Hashem does for us. It's an amazing thing. Hashem is there for us, watching over us all the time. We don't always notice it, but that's because it's hidden. It's hidden in all different ways. When your day-to-day life goes one day into the next, so you don't always realize it. But I can tell you that I'm the same way. I also don't realize it. But because over the last 4 or 5 months, there's been so many massive changes by making Aliyah and with our family and dealing with yeshivas, Beis Yaakov, Chadorim, with this guy's rules and that, this yeshiva's rules. Everybody's got rules. It's, and you see how Hashem puts the right thing into your mouth to say, and not the wrong thing. And you could pat yourself on the back all day long, but at the end of the day, you don't realize, like you send your kid, you want your kid to go to this in this school. Now, unbeknownst to your new guy in town, so you don't know b'chlal anything. As far as you're concerned, they're all the same. You don't know anything. You show up. Now, what's a sure way to have them tell you, have a good day, they're not going to deal with you, is they tell you, look, your kids, they speak English. They don't know any Hebrew. We deal with Hebrew. What's your plan? So there are two responses to that question. I'll just give you a small mashal. Two responses. One response is, look, I'm only here a few weeks, but I'm not a blind bat. I hear, and I'm not deaf, I hear a lot of English. They'll survive. That's one very commonly used response. Now, unbeknownst to me, in this particular school, that response is a clear strikeout. They're not going to deal with you. What they want to hear, which you didn't know this until after you said it, because Hashem put the right words into my mouth, or Hashem, is that, hey, Echanami, help us. It's you know, they're going to have to learn Hebrew. When you're in Rome, you do as Romans, right? They're gonna figure it out. No, and Baruch Hashem, they say children have an easier time picking up than adults. Because if it was me, I might give up before I start. But their brains work differently, and they're not that distracted with 100 different things. And I'm hopeful that I'll pick up on it. Hopefully their friends will talk to them in Hebrew and it'll work. And it would probably be an advantage that anybody who does know English, they should be forbidden to talk to my kid in English. They should have to speak in Hebrew. Now, why Hashem put that into my mind to say, I don't know. But it definitely turned out to be the right thing. Now this happens 1,000 times a day. All the time. And Medakisa, it happens the other way too. Where you could be trying to say something to somebody, you want to sell yourself. I met with somebody about something. I wanted to see if I could get a job somewhere. I met with the guy. And I was trying to say something because I wanted to try to get a certain point across. But in the process of doing that, I blew it. Because what I did was, I basically told this particular person that with this Indian, I'm going to be figuring it out as I go along. Which is honest. I was being honest. Now, he didn't want to hear that. Because he wanted someone who was going to have figured it out, or was going to make believe he figured it out. Now, I didn't know that. Hashem obviously saved me from this situation. So for a few minutes, you walk away kicking yourself, I blew it. But then when you think about it, you didn't blow nothing. Hashem wanted this to be the outcome, so he organized that should be what's going to be. But we have to stay tuned in. But in our daily lives, we don't always do that. You know, it can work so many different ways. It's amazing. Go to buy a house. It's an amazing story. So they want a certain amount, 1.78 million, whatever it is. And you want to offer this amount. Okay? Now, you meant to say this number. It seems like people who were there say that you said this number. It was 5,000 shekel more than what you meant. You were supposed to say 1.7 million and 20,000, whatever. You said 1.725. Now, you know you didn't say it, but everybody who was there, including your spouse, said, no, you did say that. I was kind of wondering. I thought we had made it clearly, and yet you said that. Now, okay, if everybody's telling it to me, if it sounds like a duck, and it looks like a duck, probably the duck, and I probably blew it. So I just added that, chalk it up to another mess up. What I didn't know, and I only found out a few months later, almost 2.5 months later, was that they had turned down the number that I had planned on saying to a different person. I didn't know that. And they were machlet, that they were fed up already. They weren't even going to deal with the whole selling, whatever it is. But in their minds, and they told us to one of the Tivuch people, I guess if we get a little better offer, okay, would they live in a Chutz La'aretz? They needed the money for something in Chutz La'aretz, they'll do it. I'm telling you, it was one of the biggest botch-up jobs I ever did. Because the Tivuch guy heard what I said. He didn't know that I had had a three-hour discussion with my wife and my parents in the Chutz La'aretz, and we had figured it out that I really can't afford anything, but Lamaisha is, you can't rely on Hashem to just do everything, so you gotta draw the line somewhere. Say, where are you gonna draw the line here? I planned it out, I prepared it, I knew exactly what I was gonna say. I was speaking in English, because the guy spoke English, and I said it wrong. And that was what made the deal work. Now, at the end, I could have kicked myself and said, you know something? Wait a minute. I don't want to spend the extra $5. And that's what I could have said to myself. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu obviously felt, by his plenty of point, he wanted this to work. That's what he wanted. So I wasn't even with my planning, I messed up. And it worked out for my benefit at the end. It worked out for my benefit. Why? Because of that, it turned out that I ended up getting in on the old mortgage laws, which I didn't even know were changing, and therefore you can put down 30%, 40%, and you can take out this and this kind of one. I don't even know the laws. I'm a big amoritz with this stuff. Turned out that I saved way more than 5,000 shekel just because I got them today. I signed and said it the next day, because it seems like recently they changed the law. Whatever it is. Now, I don't know anything that's going on. I'm taking care of the whole thing, and I'm really doing absolutely nothing. Hashem is running the whole show, and what he wanted me to say, I said. What he wanted me to sign, I signed. What he wanted me to pay, I paid. So yeah, I paid 5,000 more this way for the upfront, but because of the way the mortgage was set up, I saved 5,000 over here. So it was the same thing. But I had no idea. And here, I could have gotten all upset and annoyed, which I did, for 20, 30 seconds. And then afterwards, I just threw up my hands. I said, okay, they tell me it's sells Nick to be serum. I guess this is part of it. And the emphasis, this wasn't even your serum. Hashem did me the biggest favor in the world. Now, what is the purpose of this? Tisha B'Av, just like when you have a mess. The guy missed the airplane and that plane crashed and he was saved and we all, whoa, look how chashev he is. Every time you get on the plane and it doesn't crash, there's a mess. But that everybody takes for granted. So the same thing over here. Nebuch sometimes things happen, like Tisha B'Av. It's to wake us up and realize, don't step back, you're going off the cliff. It's a chesed. Now it's hard to say those words because we're davening and we're crying and we're fasting because we want the Beis HaMikdash to come back. That's what we need. And it's an interesting thing, because if you think about it, there's a famous Maisa with a philosopher, a Faltin, everybody knows this, Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And it's put down in the Sefer from the Ramah, that he showed up and he saw Yirmiyahu crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he said to him, wait a minute, you're the big Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you're the Chacham. What are you crying about stones, sticks and stones? What are you wasting your time crying about this stuff? The fire was still smoldering. And Avraham said to him, Yirmi, what are you doing? And he said to the big philosopher, is there anything that you don't know? You're the biggest philosopher around. Is there any question, anything that you think is an amazing question that no one has the answers to? So the guy said, yeah, I have a lot of things and no one knows the answers to some of my questions. So Yirmi said, ask me any question, I'll answer all your questions. And he started shooting away, and Yirmi started answering all his questions. And after he finishes, he said to him, I don't understand. You're such a chacham. You know all of these things. He says, Malu livkei salahava. What are you crying? Mashahaya haya. Adam chacham leibrecha ala'ava la'bainah. He told Yirmi, I see that you're even way smarter than me. And now I'm really, it's a conundrum to me. What are you crying over here for? So Yirmi said, where did I get all my chachma from? From these eights of Avonim. So of course we're missing. And we have what to cry about. But what are we crying about? What are we crying about? We're crying what we lost and what we don't have. But we're also crying on what we lost, but we're crying also on what we don't have today. And what if we're not zeicher, we won't have tomorrow. We need that kesher with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Koro aloi moye. Tisha B'Av, we don't say tachnun. Why not? It's such a sad day. We should say tachnun. The answer is because it's called a moed. It's called a yomtiv. It's going to be a yomtiv and it's called a yomtiv. It's a time when we renew our kesher, we get in tune with that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world. He had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash to wake us up, but it gives us a chance to fine-tune our life, fine-tune what we're doing. Understand, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is sending a message. Sometimes it goes through this avenue, sometimes it goes through the other avenue. But the emes is, it's all a vehicle in Avodas Hashem. Everything is a vehicle in Avodas Hashem. And the Maisa, this is what Yirmiyahu was telling him. Yirmiyahu was telling him, Clark, you don't get it. You're just a philosopher. You don't understand that this is how we get our chachma from. This is where we get everything we know from. And now we don't have it anymore. So when we go into Tisha B'Av, and we're going to have a hard time fasting, unless we're Superman. Most of us, sometime during the day, is going to get a headache, and we're not going to feel so good. And we're going to sit a whole morning doing kinnis, and we're going to be uncomfortable on the floor, then we're going to stand up for part of the time, then we're going to cheat and lean against something, and we're going to be wiped out. And 8 o'clock tomorrow night is not going to be able to come, Tuesday night is not going to be able to come fast enough. Let's not waste the opportunity. Let's understand the opportunity, at least while we're sitting and we're doing Echa, we're listening, we're reading kinnis. Let's reconnect to Hashem. Use it as an opportunity. Reconnect. Hashem gave us health. Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave us family, children, mishpacha. Baruch Hashem. I'm going to try my best, Hashem, that my children know what we had, what we don't have now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Use all of this as opportunities to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reconnect. It's interesting, it's brought down that after Chatzos, we're able to sit on a regular chair. Yet the Gemara in Tainus says clearly that the fires that burnt the Beis HaMikdash started in the afternoon. So all in all, first you ask, why are we sitting on a chair in the afternoon? We should sit on the chair in the morning. And then as soon as the fire started, that's when we should hit the deck. The answer is because during the day, what is it a symbolic of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there taking care of us. Those fires were a chesed for us to wake us up, take care of what we need, be there for us. Everything was set up that there should be goyim serving us after tchias ha'meisim, so that the rishonim should have nothing to say. Hashem runs the whole world, tchias ha'meisim, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, everything for the te'elos of Klal Yisrael. So when we're sitting tomorrow night listening to Echa, and we're trying to think, what does this mean to me? Let's at least on that little level, let's make our resolution that we're going to be a different person. We're going to be more in tune and more connected to Hashem in everything. so that when things come good, we're thankful to Hashem. We don't take the credit. And when things come, lo'aleinu, not so good, we understand that Hashem has a plan. It makes it so much easier to deal. So sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. But at the end of the day, there's no question. It'll help us out in tremendous things. Someone called me today. He says to me that he lost money because of what's going on in the States now, that he had certain money put somewhere, and he knows tomorrow morning he's going to lose some money. We're not talking a lot of money. We're talking a few $1,000. But this guy's all his money. He had a few $1,000, and someone convinced him to put it someplace. Now the stock market's going to drop tomorrow, and he's afraid he's going to lose money. So he's panicking. So there's a way to do it, to try to get it out like 2 seconds into the day, you know, so you lose for those few seconds, but you don't lose everything. I said, but what do you do if it does the other way? Like, you don't know what's... No, I'm doing it, no problem. So at the end of the, after he finished, so I said, so did you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem could have had this happen tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock exactly American time, and that you'd be busy somewhere else, not find out about it for 4 hours, and then find out you lost $5,000, all your money. He said, Hashem made it happen on Friday, so you'd have until Monday to worry about it. Hashem did you a favor. You're still going to lose, but you're going to be much ahead of the game. So think about that. When, why, everything happens at a precise time. We can't think, nothing happens by mistake. And that's what this Gemara is coming to teach us.
Weeks around the next year.
Wednesday is the next year. We're going to have a shiur on Wednesday. That's going to be an Inyan Nechama.
We do meet Wednesday.
Wednesday we'll meet.
Awesome.